From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns with you once again to continue to Let the Bible Speak from Luke's Gospel chapter 4 on how the Lord Jesus Christ took Galilee by the power of the Spirit. Last week we concentrated on the message that the Lord Jesus preached. Today we start looking at the method that he employed as he preached the message of the gospel of the kingdom. That's all before us. I trust you'll stay with us for the rest of this 30-minute segment as we look together into the Word of God. First, however, our hot topic for today, the Bible for lunatics and lefties. There seems to be no end of the idiocies of some so-called Bible scholars. A few months back, 52 Bible specialists, as they call themselves, in Germany, produced a new politically correct version of the Scriptures. They decided that the Bible needed to be purged of its divisive teachings and presented in more just language. They had a strange translation philosophy. In the words of Pastor Hannah Kohler, who led the team of translators, I quote, "One of the great ideas of the Bible is justice. We have made a translation that does justice to women, Jews, and those who are disregarded." Close the quotes. This justice sees no virtue in faithfulness to the actual text of Scripture. Rather, it's a perverted attempt to gain the authority of the Bible for things that the Bible most assuredly does not teach or support. To further the lunacy of extreme feminism, the Lord's Prayer is made to read, "Our Father and Mother who art in heaven." Jesus is no longer the Son of God, but the Child of God, and the divine title Lord is replaced by God or the Eternal One. Then, to express the extreme feminist idea that just about all that's bad in the world is due to male domination, the translators decided that the devil would remain entirely male. It's surprising that he was not presented as a white, heterosexual male of European descent. Such drivel doesn't deserve to be termed translation. It is utter and deliberate perversion. It's the product not of Bible specialists, but of satanic corruptors, whose aim was not to represent what the Word of God actually said, but what they wanted to make it say. Of course, their work will end up in the garbage can of history. It's a clueless, powerless, and idiotic attempt to dress up the lies of the devil in the garb of God's truth. It will die the death, as so many other equally foolish perversions have. One wit said, "I'm going to put this new Bible on my bookshelf, right next to the children's classic, Three Optically Challenged Mice, and Snow, Melanin Impoverished, and Seven Height Disadvantaged Individuals." For a while I thought that the endless stream of crazy corruptions of the Bible was unique to the English-speaking world. Obviously the Germans are not going to be outdone in this particular pursuit of lunacy. The year before the politically correct perversion, another German, the founder and leader of the so-called Jesus Freaks in Germany, produced his own peculiar bit of insanity under the guise of a translation geared to today's pop culture. He published the People's Bible in language that was supposed to make the message of Christianity more accessible. Thus, Jesus multiplies hamburgers instead of the fish and loaves. While in the parable of the prodigal son, the younger son squanders his inheritance at dance clubs and ends up cleaning bathrooms at McDonald's. There's nothing new in this. The devil has always had great interest in trying to corrupt God's word. Your local bookstore no doubt prominently displays various so-called Gnostic Gospels and other ancient attacks on Scripture. The aim is to sow confusion and distrust in the message of God's genuine word. That message and God's word will prevail. God's word is living and powerful, and even cunningly produced versions for lunatics and lefties cannot rob it of its power. Many of you have already asked for our quarterly magazine, and have, I trust, been enjoying reading it. If you haven't yet joined our readership, I encourage you to do so. It's easy. All you have to do is call or write, either by conventional mail or by email, and we'll ship the magazine off to you. There's no cost to you at all, and no strings attached. We know that almost any time you order anything from most Christian ministries, you're likely to receive endless streams of begging letters. That will not happen when you write or call Let the Bible Speak. So make sure you get on our mailing list for the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak,
1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you and being able to send you our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine.
Peace like a river is flooding my soul. Since Christ my Savior maketh me whole. Sweet peace abiding my portion shall be. Jesus, my Savior, is precious to me. Joy is abounding, my heart gaily sings. Cleave I the heavens, mount up on wings. Christ hath exalted my soul, he set free. Jesus, my Savior, is precious to me. Precious to me. Precious is he. Jesus shall ever be precious to me. Oh, precious Jesus, how lovely thou art. Come and abiding, rule in my heart. Break every fetter, thy face let me see. Then thou shalt ever be precious to me. Precious to me. Precious is he. Jesus shall ever be precious to me.
Now we return this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 23-25. And then in Luke's Gospel, we read verses 14 and 15. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. And then in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, a parallel passage. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. When we last turned to this passage, we took these words in Luke 4:14 as the summary text. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. After he had been in Judea for his baptism and his anointing with the Spirit of God, and then after he had remained in the wilderness of Judea to be tempted 40 days and nights by the devil, he made his way back to Galilee to commence his great Galilean ministry. I summed up that ministry in one sentence last time, that as the King of Grace, the Lord Jesus Christ invaded the strongholds of Satan, engaged his most powerful forces, and triumphed gloriously over them, as witnessed by the changed lives that he touched in Galilee. Now, as we considered Christ taking Galilee by storm through the power of the Holy Spirit, we concentrated first on his message. Now, I had intended to get a lot further than the first point last time, but my intentions, though good, were unfulfilled. We thought of the message, the gospel of the kingdom. I'm not going to reiterate what I said then, except to say that this is the gospel. It is the gospel with a particular emphasis, for a particular purpose. But it is the one and only true, everlasting gospel of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not some gospel of works, as so many people mistakenly teach. It is not a gospel that was for a past period and that will be resurrected in the kingdom age. It is not a gospel, as one preacher put it in Britain many years ago, that is partly of grace and partly of works. It is the gospel of the sovereign King of glory who came in grace to the salvation of sinners. And that was the message that the Lord Jesus preached, the gospel of the kingdom, with its summary message that men should recognize the King, bow before him, and receive him as Lord, Master, and Savior. Now, having dealt with his message, we want to proceed to consider his method. We read that he was teaching and preaching the gospel. Teaching and preaching the gospel, Matthew tells us. The word that is used here for preaching is a word that carries the force of heralding or proclaiming. The Lord Jesus stepped forth as heaven's herald upon the earth. He put the silver trumpet of the gospel to his lips, and he heralded to men of every kind, in places and circumstances of all descriptions, the one glorious message of the grace of God to men. When you think of him proclaiming, emphasize, that is God's way of reaching sinners. Now let me make that clear. It has always been true, And it remains true that it hath pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Lord Jesus certainly exemplified that. He took the word of God to the people where they were. Ezekiel once said concerning his own ministry among the captive Israelites in Babylon, I sat where they sat. Well, the Lord Jesus could certainly say those words, only he lifted them to a much higher plane. He's the one who came down from glory, and he came to where we were. He didn't look over the battlements of heaven and say to sinners, this is what you ought to be. This is where you have to reach. Had he done that, we would never have been anything but sinners, and we'd never have reached anywhere but the lake of fire. But he came, and he sat where we sat. He went where sinners were. He didn't stand aloof from the ungodly. We may learn from that, because the more wicked the world becomes, the more apt Christians are to misuse the doctrine of separation, which is never meant to be an isolation of the Christian from the worldling. The Christians are the salt of the earth, and if you remove that salt, the world will become more corrupt, and sinners will be sealed to their doom. Separation is unto holiness, but holiness is meant to be practiced in the world and amidst the worldlings of the world. The Lord Jesus did not hold himself aloof from sinners. His enemies even mocked him, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That was meant to be a condemnation. The Lord Jesus, as we see as we proceed with the studies in his life, wore it as a badge of honor. He went where sinners were, and he brought to them the word of God. He did not go to where sinners were to be like them. He did not adopt this crazy philosophy that has come to curse the Christian church of our day, that if we're going to win the sinners among whom we live, we have got to look like them, walk like them, talk like them, act like them, and be like them. There was nobody more unlike the sinners around him than the Lord Jesus Christ, but there was nobody more effective in reaching them and bringing them out of darkness into the glorious light and liberty of the gospel. He went to them where they were. He addressed the needs that they felt. One of the buzzwords of our age in the church is relevance. How to make the gospel relevant. How to make the message relevant. How to make the church relevant. That's been the excuse for turning churches into entertainment shows. That's been the excuse for making churches anything but preaching houses. The Lord Jesus can teach us all about relevance. Relevance doesn't require that we change the message. Relevance doesn't even require that we change the methodology. Relevance does not mean that we have to become suddenly all super 21st century. Relevance is to do what the Lord Jesus did. He went where the people were, and he addressed the needs that they felt. The first need that they felt was caused by the feeling of guilt. He went among men who were eaten alive by guilt. He didn't bring them some soft psychology, some soapy water to try and wash away their guilt. No, he brought them the message of the gospel. He did not deny their sin. He actually accentuated their sin. He convicted them of their sin. He told them in very plain language that they had a need to feel guilty. But he made it clear that there was an answer to their guilt. He addressed guilty sinners in all their felt guilt. Not only so, he addressed, and this is the real meaning, or one of the two great meanings, I should say, I'll deal with the other briefly in a moment, of the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. He dealt with the ravages caused by sin in their lives. Broken minds, broken homes, broken hearts, broken bodies. These were the ravages of sin. And wherever the Lord Jesus went, He brought His word and His work. He brought Himself and His ministry to deal with the felt needs that sin had caused in the lives of men and women. That is true relevance. To identify the needs and then to apply the gospel to those needs.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.